This is The Record. I'm Steve Scherr.
And I'm David Hyde. And 10 days ago, the landslide in Oso wiped out nearly 50 homes and took, at the most recent official count, 21 lives. Rescue crews continue to search the pile of mud and debris for the missing and the dead. Among those who have lost their homes or their loved ones, another kind of quest is beginning, the search for answers and for justice. For more on that, we're joined by Karen Willey. She's a Seattle-based lawyer who specializes in water law and has advised nearly 1,000 landslide cases, or advised on, I should say, nearly 1,000 landslide cases here in Washington State, representing both plaintiffs and defendants. And she has been approached by a couple of families in this particular case. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thanks so much.
So I understand you actually have been approached by a couple of the families in this case?
Yes, we have. And we've started looking at original documents and things such as that. But you know, our condolences go out, and we hope it's of some comfort to hear the law and not, you know, seem garish to the families.
What does a person need as a plaintiff or a victim to have a strong case in a landslide case like this one? It's complicated, right?
Yeah, it's technically pretty complicated, but the courts really look at notice. You know, is there actual notice? Is there constructive notice?
What's notice?
Notice is, did anybody at all know about the possibility of this landslide happening, and how much did they know and when?
Mm. And you've actually been looking into the paper trail on this particular case, on the Oso case, including something called the Drury Report from back in 2000. What is that? What's the significance of this report?
Well, the first thing that happens for me when I hear about a landslide is it one that I already know about? Is it an area that's known for landslides? Have there been landslides in modern history? The second question is usually, and with this, it's just such a massive landslide. You wonder if people understood how large this was in terms of notice. And so the Drury... This is a report, and it's dated like June 19th, 2000. Tracy Drury was doing it. I believe he was doing it. There's an earlier document where he's doing a revetment, and he's doing designs, and that's in January of 2000, and it's for the Corps of Engineers and for the Stillaguamish tribe. So I don't know who else might have seen this. But the horrible thing is he's saying there could be a catastrophic failure. He's saying the potential runout would be 900 feet, an area which is currently owned and occupied by private citizens. And then there's a drawing, and the drawing is what is just so horrific. If you imagine like a short domino and then a larger domino behind it, and then a larger domino, and then a tall domino. He identifies those as the landslide failure plane, and there are four of them. And he basically says these several failure planes could fail. And so it was pretty shocking to kind of go, oh, my God, you know, somebody did a drawing saying what this would look like, and it's not just a little bump, but they're these huge failure planes. And so that's just, you know,
Karen Willey is a Seattle-based lawyer. She's represented both sides in thousands of landslide cases here in Washington State. She's going to be working on this case with one of the families. And, you know, you're a lawyer, so you're going to be taking a position, but from what you've seen so far, was there enough information about the dangers so that this might have been prevented?
We don't have all the facts yet, and so I'm wondering, like the six families that got building permits after the 2006 landslide, what did they know? You know, we'll be asking for the geotechnical information.
And those are those six families. There are, of course, other homes. What could have helped in those cases based on that Drury report that you mentioned earlier?
Well, I think if people knew about the Drury report and someone handed it to them and said, you know, here's this report, and there was a landslide. I mean, this predicted a landslide in 2000. That landslide happened in 2006. So that first domino went down.
Yeah.
The study also looked at buying out the properties. And so there are like 20 properties that are identified and how much they would have cost to buy. I don't know if anyone approached any of these families and said, you know, here's this drawing.
But buyouts, that was a recommendation of that report?
The report was looking at different projects. One of the projects was to put in large woody debris, a revetment. Another project was to buy out the unoccupied properties. And then the next project that was looked at was to buy out 20 of the houses. And the cost, and I think, I don't remember the numbers right off the top, but I think the woody debris revetments were something like $1.3 million. And I think that the buying the houses was $2.3 million.
And now, you know, that this landslide has happened, what can be done, do you think, to help the victims financially?
Well, I'm hoping that it's not going to be like Katrina, where banks did not forgive mortgages. Mm. You know, for those people who still have mortgages and no homes, we're hoping the banks will forgive them. If they won't, my partners and I are kind of talking about some ideas about how to help families in that situation. You know, the law is pretty, I don't know, you know, people think about or say, you know, the law is going to make me whole. You know, the law never makes anybody whole except on TV. And these families need a lot more than law. Mm. And yes, the law can do some things for them. I think that probably all the counties and cities are going to be looking at their permitting a little bit harder. And geotechs are probably going to look at the sites that they okay. You know, we're wondering if the geotechnical reports for these six houses, did they say, gee, this piece of land, the four corners of this piece of land, no landslide problem, go ahead, build, without advising the families of, you know, there's a known landslide. I mean, the big predictor of a landslide is whether there's been another landslide there mm-hmm. in modern days, you know, not from 10,000 years ago to 14,000 years
ago. So it's your hope that, in part, the legal system can make folks safer in the future as well?
Right. There is always a social justice aspect to law.
Karen Willey, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
She's a Seattle-based lawyer who specializes in water law. She's represented both sides in nearly 1,000 landslide cases in Washington State and has been approached and is going to be working for, it sounds like, at least one of the families in the Oso case. You're listening to The Record on KUOW with Steve Scherer. I'm David Hyde.